Just a reminder here that there's a hymn sing following the gospel meeting tonight, and our brother Peter Ramsey, in the will of the Lord, will be speaking at that. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, that there is a Savior for poor, fallen humanity, just like us. Someone who had compassion in us, upon us, in our sin and our distance from God. And Lord, we thank thee that he came right to where we were. And thank thee, Lord, when he was on the cross, he knew all about each one of us here tonight. And he loved us in spite of our rebellion and our sin. And he took our sins upon himself and took the judgment those sins deserve so that we can go free. Oh God, we thank thee that the gift of God is eternal life. And we pray that, Lord, if there's any in this meeting tonight that hasn't had a time when they've just rested in the finished work of the Lord Jesus from them personally on the cross, that tonight would be the night when they would start on their way for heaven. Lord, thou art not willing that any should perish. And we pray that thou would give help to speak and help to listen, because we ask in the name of thy Son. Amen. Now we want to welcome everybody to the gospel meeting tonight. And just before we look into the Word of God, I might just say the purpose of this meeting is so that you can know personally where you're going to spend forever. Now, if you're not interested in that, I can understand, because once I wasn't either. But you know, life can have its disappointments. And God can speak through circumstances in our lives to get our attention. And that's what he did with me. For 25 years, I had my back to God, and you couldn't have got me to a place like this. I wouldn't have come. But God brought things into my life, and maybe I'm speaking to somebody here tonight, and there have been circumstances, things have been happening in your life that you never expected. Life isn't maybe turning out the way you thought it would. Well, you know, it's just possible that God is trying to get your attention, my friend, because he wants to give you a home with him forever. He wants to bring you into a right relationship with the living God. I used to think anybody that was religious, it was like, you know, being put into a straitjacket or something. Listen, the Lord Jesus died to set you free. But before we get into the gospel, let's read 1 Timothy chapter 1. If you have a Bible, and if you don't, I'll just read it for you. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And verse 15, this is a faithful saying, a trustworthy saying, and worthy of all acceptation. It deserves to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul adds, of whom I am chief. Just those words, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I want to just emphasize at this point, this is what God says. This is just isn't what we're saying up here. He says that Christ Jesus came into the world, this world, for this purpose, to save sinners. Now I just want you to think about sinners, who would that be? And save, what does that mean? He came into the world to save sinners. One more verse in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? But just that first part there, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now what's it mean? Escape from what? How shall we escape from what? And then if we neglect so great salvation, neglect, what's salvation? You know, many people don't mind being religious, at least have a veneer of respectability, maybe go to church on Sunday. And if you ask them, do they hope to be in heaven after they die? They would say yes. And why? Well, I go to church. I'm not a heathen. But we read in 1 Timothy and in Hebrews 2 about the word save, about the word salvation, and about the word escape. Now, save says Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What does that mean? Well, you know what it would mean if somebody's in a fire in an apartment building and a fireman climbs up a ladder and saves somebody from burning. That's not hard to understand. They're rescued. They're delivered from danger. That's the meaning of the word here, to be delivered from danger. Christ Jesus came into the world to rescue, to save who? Sinners. And my friend, that's the danger human beings are in. I didn't know it for many years because I wouldn't read the Bible. I wouldn't come to a meeting like this. It didn't change anything. What danger is there? We live in a country that if somebody does something wrong and they're found out, if they rob a bank, say, or even some traffic violation, somebody does something wrong, they break the rules, break the law, there are consequences. But yet for so many years, I thought I could do whatever I wanted, and if nobody found out, no problem. My friend, you wouldn't want to live in a society where people could do whatever they want and there are no consequences. That's anarchy. See, the thing is, we've broken God's rules time and time again, even the best of us here. The Bible says there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've come short of His standard. We have a problem. And the consequences just aren't a $100 speeding ticket or even 10 years in prison. It involves separation from God forever. My friend, there are consequences for sin. The wages of sin, God says, is death. And that includes separation from God in this life. It includes separation from God in the next life. It includes separation of the soul and spirit from the body as well. My friend, the Lord Jesus came into this world to rescue you and me from the consequences of our sin. Are you ready to meet God tonight? Let me ask you. Are you ready to meet God? If you were to die tonight, and I'm not trying to be melodramatic, but if you were to die tonight, are you ready? Because the Bible makes it clear, it's appointed unto men, human beings, once to die, and after this, judgment. There are consequences for sin, and there is going to be no sin in heaven. So if you're going to be with God, you have to have your sin taken away. My friend, this is why the Lord Jesus came. You know, all my life I'd heard that there was a man named Jesus Christ who died on a cross. I mean, you know, people talk about that at Easter. And I grew up in Canada, but they still talk about it there too. But it didn't mean anything to me that he died on a cross. I never stopped to think of why. I just knew he did. But it took me 25 years to find out why. That he died there for me, for my sins, to rescue me from the punishment my sins deserve. I don't remember where I was, whether it was a doctor's office or in somebody's house, but I was flipping through a Reader's Digest a number of years ago, and when I opened, I saw a photo that just grabbed me. It was a picture of a man in a blue windbreaker, and he was hunched over like this. Not too remarkable so far, I know, but it's where he was. It was about 250 feet out from shore. It was in the Niagara River, just a few feet from the edge. It was March. It'll be 9 years next month that this happened. And I could hardly believe my eyes. And you know, with tricks they do with photography anymore, you know, you wonder. Impossible that somebody could, with all that water roaring by them, rushing by them, how could they stand there? And he's looking right down. What is it, 180 feet, something like that? And so I was drawn in. I had to find out about this. And later on, I got on the internet, and the Detroit Free Press ran a three-day series on what happened. Turned out the man was a 48-year-old accountant from Buffalo, New York. He had a gambling problem. And he had borrowed a lot of money from his parents, blew it all gambling, was so distraught that he decided to take his own life. So he drove the 18 miles or so down to Niagara Falls, and it was March, there was snow and ice, slid down the bank, and when he hit the water, this is what he thought, and this is a quote. "I was totally unprepared for the cold, the current, and for the overwhelming feeling that I wasn't ready to die." Kind of late. Somehow, and if I didn't see it with my own eyes, and if I didn't do a bit of investigation, I wouldn't believe this. I used to live right across from Buffalo, New York, in the little town of Fort Erie, and we used to swim in the Niagara River a fair bit. My mother never liked it. The current is so powerful, even by the shore. And I've been to Niagara Falls many times and looked out at the power of that torrent there. And for somebody to be in the middle of it, it's almost unbelievable. But somehow that man, the current took him out there, and he must have got his feet lodged in some boulders or something. The water was about up to his knees, and so there he is in his blue windbreaker, just crouching there, looking 100 feet down. I think I would have died of a heart attack. Let me ask you, is this man in trouble? Is there a danger? Does this man need to be rescued? He could be an Olympic swimming champion. Not going to help him there. You see, he needs to be saved from the peril that he was in. Well, you know, the police, the fire came, and the firemen came, and they see this guy out there. They don't know what to do. So they brought a helicopter, two men in it. And it was just about dusk, starting to get dark. And I still remember reading about there was the pilot and the navigator. And when they saw where the man was standing, they said, "Oh no. You know, there's mist goes up, their current's going up, and I don't know anything about flying helicopters, but, you know, the thought was, this is not going to be easy." So they got over the man, and if memory serves me correctly, I think at first they tried to drop some kind of a basket, and that wasn't working. In fact, at one point, the wash from the helicopter knocked the man over. Unbelievable. Knocked the man over, but somehow he was able to get to his feet again, and there he's standing. Now, they made a few attempts to try to drop a lifeline, like a life preserver, to the man, and they just couldn't get it. But finally decided, we're going to try one more time. And this is what they did. They had a rope, of course, the lifeline they're going to drop, and they had a rope tied to shore where the fire and the police were. And the thought was, as soon as he grabs that, then they're going to pull it, and they're going to pull him to safety. So here's the man, and here comes the life preserver, the lifeline. What would you do if you were that man? And here it comes, the life ring comes down. What would you do? Now, you don't know those men in the helicopter. You don't know where that life ring was made. But you're not going to care. You're not going to be asking a lot of questions. because you have a problem that you can't solve. And my friend, this is the way it is in the gospel. You and I have a problem that we can't solve ourselves. We can't take away one sin, let alone the multitude of them. We can't get ourselves to heaven. That man couldn't rescue himself. He needed to be saved. He needed to be rescued. He needed to be delivered by somebody else. That last time, they dropped it right to where the man was. And he did what I'm sure each one of us would have done if we thought we had a problem. Listen, he wasn't thinking, you know, maybe tomorrow. Yeah, come back tomorrow. He didn't say, I'm not interested. He didn't say, I've got my own religion. When that life preserver came, he just grabbed it. You know, there was a time in my life when God gave me the lifeline. Not at a meeting like this, but I was working for an older lady, and she brought me around her kitchen table, started to give me some food, and started talking to me about the Lord Jesus Christ. And at first, I didn't see my need of Jesus Christ. And so I didn't take the lifeline. I didn't put my trust in Christ. But I'm so thankful that God in His kindness brought me to a point. And I hope and pray there's someone here tonight that you're at a point where you realize you have a problem you can't solve. And your sin is a heavy weight. And you know that one day you're going to have to meet God. My friend, every one of us here tonight, we're going to have to stand before God. We're going to meet Him. And I often think in a gospel meeting, in 100 years, where are you going to be? Where are you going to be? Now, somebody might say, well, I'm not worried about 100 years. I got so many problems. I hardly had time to come here tonight, but somebody invited me and here I am. But listen, you get eternity taken care of. You get your sins forgiven. You come into a right relationship with the living God, and He can help you with all the problems of life. Well, the man grabbed the life preserver. They pulled the man to shore, but when they were doing that, he got lodged under, there was a shelf of ice there. And the man got trapped underneath it. Now he's in danger of drowning. What to do? Some very brave men. I don't think I'd make a good policeman or a fireman. And I remember reading, I think, about one fireman. And what they're going to do, they're going to slide down that bank, and they're right at the edge of the falls, the precipice there. And one of the firemen said, you know, somebody was tied into a tree. He said, make sure you tie it good. So they slid down. These men risked their life to save this man who couldn't save himself. He's under the water. They went down. And somehow they were able to get that man from under that ice shelf, and they pulled him to safety. The man was saved from going over the falls. Now, they didn't give his name because it was attempted suicide. But this is what the man said after. I don't know what I'd do if someone lost their life for me. Well, those men didn't lose their life saving him, but I want to tell you, someone who gave their life, the Lord Jesus, gave His life on the death of the cross, my friend, so you and I can be saved. God so loved the world, the billions in the world, that He sent His own Son. He gave His Son to the death of the cross, so that if anyone puts their trust in Him, they don't need to perish. They don't need to be punished eternally for their sins, but they can have everlasting life, and that involves forgiveness of sins, past, present, and future. My friend, wouldn't you like to know this? All your sins are forgiven. You can know this because it doesn't depend on us. It depends on what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross. He's the Savior. He died for all our sins. And God says the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. God says so. So now, God says, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation, a great rescue? Would that man at the falls and the blue windbreaker, would he have escaped if he neglected, if he ignored the great deliverance that was offered to him, that life ring when it came down? Would he have escaped? No way. My friend, God is telling us, we're not going to escape either. If we ignore the great rescue that He is offering tonight to you, because none of us know if tomorrow we'll see tomorrow. That man had a very short time where he decided whether to grab that life preserver or not. I don't know how much time you'll have. You know, the Bible talks about some people that neglected, ignored God's great salvation. One man, his name was Judas Iscariot. You heard about Judas? One of the disciples, he traveled with the Lord Jesus for 3 years or so, hung out with the disciples. Tremendous privilege. He heard the Lord Jesus teach and preach, and he saw what he was like. And yet for Judas Iscariot, something was more important than being rescued, than being saved, having his sins forgiven. You know what it was for Judas? A bit of money. 30 pieces of silver. I don't know how much that is in our currency. But even if it was $1 billion, and it wasn't, is it worth it? Did Judas make a good deal? 30 pieces of silver. And he neglected God's great salvation. You know, there's many people that have heard the gospel. Maybe they know Christians. Maybe even come to a meeting like this time and time again. Associate with Christians. And yet something else is more important. Is anything more important than where you're going to spend forever? Is anything more important than your relationship with the living God? My friend, we don't deserve to be rescued. I deserve to be in hell and the lake of fire forever. Because of my sins. And so do you. I mean, can God take us to heaven in our sins? It wouldn't be heaven. It wouldn't be. God is perfect. He's holy. He's pure. He can't take us the way we are. But there's another man by the name of Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. And Jewish leaders wanted Christ to be put to death. And so the Lord Jesus standing right in front of him. And the governor knew that the Lord Jesus was innocent. And yet the crowd's crying out for Christ's blood. They said, crucify him. The religious leaders were intimating that Jesus Christ was a threat to Pilate's boss, the Caesar, back in Rome. So here he's got this pressure on him from the crowd, and maybe he's worried he's going to lose his job. So what's he do? He neglects his great salvation. The Lord Jesus standing right there, and he said that classic question, what am I going to do with Jesus, who's called Christ? My friend, what are you going to do with Jesus? That's the big question. You know, you answer a lot of questions in life, in school, and even after school. What are you going to do with the Lord Jesus? God's Son. God sent Him down to this world to die for sinners. God's offering you the lifeline tonight. What are you going to do with Him? But you know, there's another man we read about. He was a guard in a jail. And situation occurred. I won't go into all the details, but he thought he was going to lose his life, lose his job, because he thought the prisoners had escaped. And so this is what he cried out. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? This man now, he's facing eternity. Death is very close to him. He heard the gospel preachers. He says, what do I have to do to be saved? What did they tell him? Join a church? Try to be a better person? This is what they said. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And he did. And he was. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Did he accomplish what he came to do? Listen, before he died, he says, it's done. It's finished. The work that he came to do, to provide salvation, a way of escape, it was completed. And he died, and God raised him from the dead. And my friend, God is offering you the lifeline. Just as those men in the helicopter dropped that life ring to that man in Niagara Falls, God is extending the gospel to you tonight. His son, it concerns his son, the Lord Jesus. The question is, what are you going to do with Jesus? Well, what did that man do at the falls? He just took the rescue that was offered him. And my friend, wouldn't it be a tremendous thing tonight if you were to accept the rescue that God is offering you? You say, well, how do I trust in the Lord Jesus? My friend, do you see your need? Do you realize that you're going to be separated from God forever without the Lord Jesus Christ? My friend, God says he came into the world to save sinners. He accomplished what he came to do. My friend, you put your trust in him. It isn't in feelings. It isn't anything we do. That man couldn't do anything at the falls. He just had to be honest and realize, I've got a problem. I need to be rescued. And when that lifeline came down, he just took it. And when he got to shore, he didn't say, well, I'm here because I did any great thing. He realized people risked their life to save him. I'm glad to tell you the Lord Jesus gave his life to rescue us. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But this word of warning, God says, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Shall we pray? Father, we thank thee for such a great salvation, Lord. It cost thee so much to see thy son suffer the way he suffered there at the cross is beyond anything we can understand. But Lord, we thank thee that the Lord Jesus accomplished the rescue that he came to provide. We thank thee that he died for the ungodly, and whosoever believeth in him can have everlasting life. Lord, bless thy word to each of our hearts now. Take us to our homes in safety. We ask in our Savior's name. Amen.